We are turning our Bibles again to the epistle of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 1 John, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. This evening, we want to speak about the title before us, Evidences of Christian Love. This morning, we spoke about effects of grace. Notice we select another topic of grace. Evidences of Christian love, or evidences to show that I am a Christian. Let me put it that way. The letter of 1 John is called by many Bible teachers the Book of Assurance. It is called this because the word know appears in the book about 36 times. But the word love is also used just as many times. And this hour we will consider this word as it appears in Scripture. Well, since John uses this word more than 36 times in his letter, I want us to consider four great evidences of love that appears throughout the book of 1 John, but we will only consider mainly the second chapter. Today, you and I hear quite a bit about love. Even in this crisis, we are hearing a lot about love. We are going to get through this together. For many people, love is relative. But John is not speaking of any kind of love. He's speaking of a characteristic that is found in the Lord Jesus and is found in his people, the Christian. I remember during the hippie era, and some of you may have been around during that time. The slogan was, if you can remember, peace and love. What kept these ones together was drugs. Today you hear the word love from various cultures of society. They say, live and let's live. This is love. Even in the Christian culture, we hear a lot about love from the emerging church. It says, why can't we love each other? We are all going the same place. We serve the same God. All of these are relative terms. Love at the expense of purity is adultery. Love at the expense of truth is hypocrisy and apostasy. But John gives four tests of Christian love. In fact, there are not tests at all. There are evidences, characteristics that are found in the Christian. This is really a comfort and an assurance to the believer that they have salvation. But it is a great challenge to many who are uncertain about their salvation, or many who are in delusion that there are Christians, those who never had a life-transforming experience, that there are new creatures. So we are called upon to face these evidences of love, how it is expressed. And the first evidence of Christian love is obedience. We cannot get away from this word. We mentioned it this morning, and here it is again in 1 John. And hereby, verse 3, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Somebody sent me a WhatsApp just last week and asking me, how can I know that I am saved and going to heaven. How can I know? Well, send me this innocent WhatsApp. It shows that apparently this young man is beginning to think seriously. I sent back, the best thing I could have sent is this text to him. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. A Christian does not keep the Lord's commandments to be saved. This is not what it is the text is saying. Believer salvation is not a catalog. It is not a record of do's and don'ts. True believers desire to obey because they have become saved. John defined this obedience in three categories. One, consistency. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The one condition that determines one's love for the Savior is obedience to God's word. And that's why we get worried when we see disobedience. Notice verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The word keep, or the word keepeth, as you have heard me said so many times, is in the present tense. And it is a word that expresses consistency. Christians sin, but they do not practice sin. They practice righteousness. John repeats again in verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Here again is the assurance. Christians are consistent. Another manifestation that marks the believer's obedience is purity. Look at verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. How did he walk in this world? Well, he walked in purity. I never see Jesus or read about Jesus in a nightclub or a discotheque. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3 tells us, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone that have this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Purity is an expression of love. A third way obedience is expressed is in transparency. Verse 7 and 8, Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. The word light is another hallmark of the epistle and even the gospel of John. The word true or truth means to unveil. It's the word aletheia. We name women Althea. It means to expose. No man have seen God at any time. The only begotten Son have unveiled, exposed him. Jesus came to expose the Father's image to his people. We in turn ought to be transparent. We ought to expose the Lord Jesus to others, even in how we conduct ourselves in the church. Indeed, the darkness has passed. The true light is expressed. in how we live our lives before God and before others. So the test of love, or the evidence of Christian love, is obedience. Evidence number two, the evidence of love is seen in our love for the brethren. Verses 9 and 10. We read, "He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." Who are these ones John is speaking about? Well, back in those days, he was speaking of believers in fellowship with Jesus. You remember 1 John chapter 1, verse 3? He says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." The brethren are those in fellowship with the Father and the Son. The test of your love for God is seen in your love for the brethren. John often equates love for God and how it is displayed in love for the brethren. Verse 11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goes, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." You may remember that Jesus was told that his mother and his brethren were asking for him, and he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Luke 8:21. In fact, Jesus pointed to the disciples and said, "My mother and my brethren are these, those who hear the word of God and do it." You know, at times, some people in the church seem to have a better relationship than the lost person than they have for the believer, the brethren. Just a few weeks ago, a young lady, or if I may call her that, said what she was going through. She didn't tell to anyone, just a few close friends. Well, so it really grieved us, because none of her close friends were found in the church. And it is really sad when we find that kind of solace from the unsaved. I cannot understand how some professing believers claim to have the love of God and cannot love the brethren. If Christians can't love the brethren on earth, how in the world are they going to love them in heaven? Hasn't the Lord said that all men will know that you are my disciples because of the love you have one for another? John says this throughout his letter. He connects loving God with loving the children of God. 1 John 5, verses 1 and 2, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." You know what this is saying? That whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat the Father loveth him also that is begotten of him, the Christian. It's pretty clear, isn't that? Isn't that so? The test or the evidence of one's love for Jesus is manifested in their obedience. It is manifested in their love for the brethren. We fellowship with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 3, another evidence of Christian love is that Christians have overcome the world. Verses 12 and 13. We have overcome this world. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Now, when the Lord saves us, we have become overcomers of this world. Prior to being saved, we were overcome by the world, by our sins. We were defeated by our sins, bombarded by our sins. Love our sins. John says, I am writing this letter to you because you have overcome the wicked one. The Bible, this word overcome, is the word that is used in Romans 8, saying that we are more than conquerors. It's the same word. The wicked one, of course, is the god of this world. Verse 14 go on to say, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome, the word again, the wicked one. Now, some translators take these three groups of people, little children, fathers, young men, to mean Christians at different stages of growth. You probably is wondering why these three groups of people, but they are all the same person. We have overcome the wicked one. They're not three groups of Christians, little children, and they say little children is infant children. No, they're speaking about the same people, those who are overcomers. We have overcome the wicked one as well as the world. Notice the admonition the apostle gives in verses 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, this is an imperative. This is not an option. You know, you don't say to a Christian, why do you love the world? It is impossible. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Brethren, don't we see so much of this today as we listen carefully? Love in the world is expressed in three ways: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Love for the world was the downfall of our first parents. In all three of these forms mentioned in 1 John chapter 2, love for the world was the downfall of the children of Israel in Egypt, who turned their backs on God and wanted to go back to Egypt. It was a love for the world. Even though they experienced hardships, they wanted to go back. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, his temptations were based on these three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Nothing has changed. These are the areas that you and I will be tested. This is what we face. But love is manifested, God's love is manifested in us, his people, because we have overcome the world. Let me ask you, have you overcome this world? You know, one can be a victim instead of an overcomer of the world. But Christ can make us overcomers. 1 John 5, 3 through 5 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God." You see how many times John emphasized this word that we are conquerors, overcomers in the Lord Jesus. It may not seem that way to us, but that is what God has declared. The child of God overcomes this world. Verse 17, "And the world passes away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So the evidence of love, or the evidences of love for the Lord Jesus, is seen in one's obedience to God's word. It is seen in our love for the brethren. It is seen in the fact that we are overcomers in this world. Brethren, I have to say that obedience can never be perfect on this side of eternity. But we come to evidence number 4. How is love manifested? Love is manifested in the believer because we love the truth. We love the truth. When John penned this letter, and some of you who have done some background work on this epistle know very well that there were many false teachers in that era swirling around, just as there are today. Many had defected from the faith. As a matter of fact, we read they went out from us because they were not of us. John declares in verses 18 and 19, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that is the last time." The word Antichrist isn't referring to a single figure, but many who oppose the gospel, for the text says that there are many Antichrists. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Now, this doesn't refer to a particular local church. It is speaking about the faith, the Christian faith. How many went out from the Christian faith, not from the local church of itself, because you can go out of a local church but never go away from the Lord Jesus. But sometimes you can go away from the local church and go away from Jesus. But today there are many drifters from the truth. But the mark of love is a love for the truth. You cannot love Jesus and don't love the truth. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." John goes on to say, as we work our way down in verses 20 and 21, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Brethren, the unction from above, all of us know what is that. He's speaking about the Holy Spirit that God has given to the believer, that guides him into truth, that leads him into truth, that testifies of the truth. That is the Holy Spirit's work. David said in Psalm 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. The Lord will never lead his children in a path of error. And this is something we ought to emphasize. The Lord doesn't lead his children in a path of error. Error is not from the Lord Jesus, but he leads us in the path of truth. And isn't this what the psalmist says? He leadeth us in the path of righteousness. So, brethren, the test or the evidence of love is never what one says. If we want to test our love for the Savior, we measure it up against these four things that I have mentioned. Squarely and fairly, measure it up with God's word. The tests of love for the Lord Jesus will be characterized by obedience. And as I said, obedience can never be perfect. And as a matter of fact, as you grow in grace and the older you get, you would also find that you are such a big sinner. You would be more conscious of sin. The older you get, the more conscious you become of sin, Brother Othniel. It's not going to go away, but it is going to make you more uncomfortable. It's a sign of obedience. You know, people will say, man, as I get older, Christian life is going to be a breeze. No, the Christian life was never meant to be a breeze, because you have to depend on God even more as you age in grace. It will be characterized by one's love for the brethren. We will desire the same thing for the brethren. We would want our brethren to hear the gospel. And that's why we are setting up this situation. We want to give them opportunity to hear what we are hearing. It's love. We want to pray for them. The test of love is that we have overcome the wicked one. We are no longer controlled by the wicked one, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And finally, evidence of love is that we love the truth. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear of my brethren, my children, walking in the truth. And what greater joy can we have to hear that brethren are walking in the truth? There's no joy when people are walking in error. There's grief. Brethren, I should check these marks in myself. And if they are lacking, I should covet these things. And if I have them, I should cultivate them even more. So it was a blessed evening. It was a blessed day in light of what we have encountered. We don't know what will befall us the next few days, but let's keep praying and let's keep waiting. And thank you for coming again. Let's pray. Our Father, our God, oh, how we pray that you would help us, that we will see more of these things in our lives, more obedience to your word, to your will, more love for our brethren, more love, oh God, for the truth. Less of the world. Help us to overcome this world. May we not be running with the crowd, Lord, but may we be walking with the sheep and with the shepherd. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.